Well, I have to say, it's very nice to see a full chapel again. This is a holiday weekend, and you who are here are using your holiday well, because sometimes people think they can take a holiday from the Lord, or a holiday from the faith. But no, actually, holiday is a good time to spend more time with the Lord. So here you are. I mentioned already that this is both the feast of St. Mother Teresa and the first Saturday. So I'd like to say something about both of them. About Mother Teresa, I probably don't have to say anything because she's practically an icon of charity to the poor. Anyone who knows Mother Teresa knows she's dedicated to the Lord, and the Lord called her to serve the poorest of the poor. But I will share this little thing. This is a card I received actually from Bishop Batano. I don't know exactly how this happened, but I think the Missionaries of Charity must be somewhere in the Diocese of Rochester. Is there a convent here? Well, anyway, Bishop Batano had some connection with the Missionaries of Charity, and either he asked them to do this or they volunteered to do it, and that is to pray for priests. So here's a little card. It was sent by him, and in his letter he said, this is not to establish any kind of relationship with the sister who's praying for you, but just to let you know that a missionary of charity is praying for you, and each sister is assigned to a priest. So this is the card. I, sister, and then I won't tell her name because in case you ever meet her, but it's Sister So-and-so, missionary of charity, offer all that I am and all that I have to Jesus through Mary our mother for you, Father Daniel Healy. That's why I saved it. 2018 I received this, but I've had it in my prayer book ever since. So here's some dedicated, consecrated woman, one of the spiritual children of Mother Teresa, praying for me. So, and offering everything she has and everything she, all she is, to Jesus through Mary for me. So that's very beautiful. On the front of the card, or back, I don't know which, there's a quotation from Mother Teresa, Saint Mother Teresa. There's lots of beautiful quotations from Mother Teresa. There's whole books of her wise sayings. This one is, I had never heard other in any other place. Jesus is pleased to come to us as the truth to be told, and the life to be lived, as the light to be lighted, and the love to be loved, as the joy to be given, and the peace to be spread. It's all definitions of Jesus, or you could say identity of Jesus, as he reveals himself to us. So that's some of the fruit, very small part of the great fruit of the life of Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Okay, as I say, it's First Saturday today, so we honor the Blessed Virgin Mary. She also knows the identity of Jesus and proclaims him, and she's the channel through whom the Word became flesh and came into the world, so we honor her today. And let's take a look at today's readings, which are also identifying Jesus and his apostles and us. One of the lines that jumped out at me in this gospel is the very last one, where Jesus says, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. It's a way of saying who he is. He's Lord of the Sabbath. Certainly that would have been very disturbing to the ears of the Pharisees, because who's the Lord of the Sabbath? The Lord. They don't even pronounce his name, the Lord. One time a man came up to me and said, he was not a believer, and he said, nowhere in the Bible does it say that Jesus is God, and he never said, I'm God. It took me by surprise, because we know Jesus is God. I mean, that's pretty basic to our faith. He's God. He's God and man, 100% God and 100% man, the Word made flesh. He's the Son of the Father. So I hope you're not confused by this. But this man was confused, or he didn't have faith, and he's kind of challenging me about what it says in the Bible. And he said, oh, where is it in the Bible where it says Jesus is God? And the only one that came to my mind right away was, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that's it doesn't say Jesus was God. It says the Word was God, but he's the Word. So he said, yeah, but it doesn't say Jesus. It just says the Word. So I said, okay. Well, anyway, I thought about this afterwards, and it's true that Jesus doesn't stand up in the marketplace and say, I'm God. Hi, I'm God. Would that work? I mean, would that have the impact of making people believe? No, it would have just offended people. He would have been stoned or thrown in jail or I don't know what. You know, when people do that nowadays, they get put in mental institutions. But that's because they're not God. But he is. So he could have said it, but he didn't. On the other hand, he was constantly revealing himself as God. Earlier this week, there was the passage when he stood up in the synagogue in Nazareth, read a passage about the Messiah from the prophet Isaiah, and then said, this passage is fulfilled in your hearing. Some of you are here, I preached on this. This passage is fulfilled in your hearing. That's a way of saying, I'm the fulfillment of what was prophesied about the Messiah. Now, does it say, I'm God? Well, no, it says, I'm the Messiah. That you could say, I'm the Messiah. Then there's this passage here where he says, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Is he saying, I'm God? Well, yes, but in a way for us to understand who he is. Remember, even his identity as the Messiah was often misunderstood, and he had to tell them, don't tell anybody I'm the Messiah. It's true, but don't tell anybody, because that won't work. Remember, we had this passage not long ago where he asks the apostles, who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And Peter is the one who gave the correct answer. You are the Christ. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Does that mean he's God? Well, we understand that, yes, that is what it means. Is that what Peter thought? I don't know. But, I mean, we have to break through this barrier of being able to identify God in the flesh. But that's who Jesus is. Anyway, I'm saying Jesus was continually revealing himself as God. How about the passage where he says to the paralyzed man, my son, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees knew right away, nobody can say your sins are forgiven. Only God can say that. That's why they were offended by it. Well, okay, he was acting as God. He was revealing himself as God. Anyway, let's go back to this gospel here. That memory of this guy who challenged me, it was a little hard to answer because it's true. It's true. Jesus doesn't say, hi, everyone, I'm God. In fact, if he were going to say anything, he would identify himself as the Son of the Father, because that's who he is as God. He's God the Son. He's not the Father, but he is God, because God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's something we could never have come up with. He had to reveal it to us. And it took the church some centuries before it could even articulate what was revealed. So when we're talking about the mysteries of God, we're not talking about something as basic as somebody coming up to us and saying, hi, I'm God. That's not how it works. Okay, here in this gospel, it starts out with a very, very simple incident. The disciples are picking grains and rubbing them in their hands and eating them. So snacking. I don't know how satisfying that would be if they were really hungry. It doesn't seem like it would be a very satisfying meal. Either they were so hungry that anything was better than nothing, or they were just snacking. I mean, it's not a morally significant act. It's like eating popcorn at a movie. I mean, it's that significant. If you want to, do it. If you don't want to, don't. That doesn't make any difference. There's no law about it. In fact, there is no law in the Old Testament about snacking. There is a law about harvesting. It is forbidden to harvest on the Sabbath. And that's what the Pharisees accuse them of. They're doing something that is unlawful on the Sabbath. So it's an interpretation, a very strict, or you could say extreme interpretation, of the law applied to the disciples. probably the Pharisees were actually trying to get at Jesus, and they were just using anything they could grab. But anyway, that's what the accusation was. Jesus' response is quite interesting. He turns to the scriptures, turns to the Word of God, and refers to a passage from the Word, because he's speaking to experts in the Word, that is the Pharisees. And he says, well, have you never read what David did? Of course they read what David did. They knew everything that David did. David was the great king. He was the example. And David did something that was much more morally significant than snacking on some grains. He went to the temple, or the place where the Lord was honored, and he ate the sacred bread. It's called the showbread in the Old Testament. That was the practice of the Jews, to set loaves before the Lord every week. And then after those loaves, on the Sabbath, they would change the loaves. And the only ones who could eat those loaves were the priests, descendants of Aaron. And they could only eat those loaves in a sacred place. That is in the law. You could only priests and only in a sacred place. So here's David with a bunch of soldiers, and they're hungry, and he says, give us something to eat. And the high priest gives them these loaves. Was that a violation of the law? No, it wasn't. So Jesus' point here is, if that violation or transgression against the letter of the law was not held against David, you have no right to hold this snacking on grain against my disciples. He doesn't say it that bluntly, but that's implied, like, come on. Come on now. And after that is when he says, and this is the surprise, or kind of the shocker. After that, he says, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. As if to say, you're the ones misinterpreting the Sabbath law, and I'm going to give you the authentic interpretation of the Sabbath law, because that's my job as the Lord of the Sabbath. Very bold declaration of his identity. Now, being Lord of the Sabbath does not mean they have to bow down before him. He's going to lay down his life for them. And this is it. Even when his identity is revealed, it's misunderstood. Because they're saying, now we don't read about their reaction in this case. I think it's in the next passage of the gospel, and they try to kill him. But they're thinking he's making himself a big deal. He's actually come to come as a sacrifice, the Lamb of Sacrifice. So what does it mean to be Lord of the Sabbath? We would think, oh, better put him on a special chair. No, it means he's making offering of himself. The Messiah is a suffering servant. Okay, so that's identity of Jesus. Now in the gospel, first reading, we hear St. Paul also clarifying his identity. I say this collection of readings is about the identity of Jesus. It's also about the identity of his disciples, meaning it also tells us something about our own identity. So Paul is saying to the Corinthians again, who are, you know, divided by factions, and as he says, inflated with pride. They're boasting about who they happen to be following, or who happened to convert them or bring them to the gospel. And he says, you're getting it all wrong. Look at how Apollos and I act. We're nobodies here, but we are apostles. And Paul makes this interesting identification of himself as an apostle. But what's an apostle? The scum of all. An apostle is a fool. An apostle is weak. An apostle is rubbish. So why does he say that? He's not putting down the exalted call of the apostles. He's establishing who we all are in relation to our God and in the eyes of the world. So we don't get our identity from the world, because they think we're fools anyway. We do get our identity of God, but that doesn't make us inflated with pride. It makes us grateful, humble servants. So he says, who confers any distinction on you? Well, the answer to that question is God does. Who makes you a somebody? Who makes you precious? God does. You're a child of God. You do have something to boast about. God. What do you possess that you have not received? Nothing. Well then, what do you have to boast about? Boast about God. Boast about what God has done. Give witness, testimony to God. That's what a disciple does. And then he goes into this long litany about how they've been, poorly clad, roughly treated, wandering about homeless, etc., etc. We have become like the world's rubbish, the scum of all, to this very moment. Then he goes on to say, I'm writing you this not to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. Now he goes back to the dignity of his position in their regard. You have countless guides to Christ, yet you do not have many fathers, for I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I'm an apostle. I'm rubbish. I'm your father. See what he's trying to do? Don't misunderstand and don't be inflated with pride about things. Recognize what God has done. He's given you life, so you are a child of God. I happen to be your father. I've given you life in Christ Jesus. He's used me as his instrument to give you life. But I'm nobody. See what he's... So it's not as simple as they say, Jesus standing up in the marketplace and saying, hi, I'm God. Hi, everybody, I'm God. It's not as Paul can stand up and say, hi, I'm an apostle, I'm an apostle. He does say it a lot, but he has to clarify what that means. Well, that's us. Who are we? Who are we? Yes, we're children of God. We have extraordinary dignity. We're extraordinarily precious, beautiful. But everything we have comes from God. So we have nothing to boast about except that. Mother Teresa, Saint Mother Teresa. Actually, we call her Mother Teresa. We don't even have to call her a saint, as if being mother is good enough. Mother Teresa understood this. Did she have a special call from God? Yes. She knew she was called. In fact, she had a call within a call. She had a special privilege and a special responsibility from God. Did that make her better than everyone else? No. It made her the servant of everyone else. Servant of the poorest of the poor. Okay. That's all of us. All of us. Special, chosen, and yet nothing to boast about except the Lord himself. Amen.